Warm Go-Gurt is kind of a good band name.
And that's where Drew starts to...
And now we begin. Hello, everyone. Oh, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we make today make sense. So definitive. I love the optimism with which we begin every show.
Right. Every show. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for coming back, Ms. Wood. We missed you. And thanks to y'all for... I guess I was gone last week, too. So it's not just me.
I know. I was going to say, we're like reunited.
I know. For the long time. Bouncing all over the world. All right. So the way this goes is we do some news. We play a little button of music. And then we do some humorousy or meaningful thing. And then we move on. 15 minutes. Boom. Okay. So... just because, you know, I'm first in the rundown, I'll go first. Just producers decide. Of note today, as the Delta variant continues to do what it's going to do in this economy, the state of California and the city of New York have said to their employees, public employees, to be clear, you will get a shot or you'll get regularly tested or you will not come to work. And I think this is the way it's going to keep going. I think this is the now, as we head late summer into fall, this is the way it's going to be with the Delta variant. Also of note today, the Veterans Administration, which is to say the federal government, right? Mm-hmm. The federal government said all of its medical workers and hospital staff are going to have to get shots or testing. So it's happening in a very real way. And I think it's number one. A little late, a little overdue, but I think it's good news. It's the right move.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you picked this because a bunch of people had tweeted us to point out this kind of great thread on Twitter from a few days ago last week by Brooke Harrington about basically social and scientific research on fraud and how it can become very useful when you're discussing this idea of people who won't get vaccines. And I think when Kimberly and I were on, you guys, I suspect you likely had a very similar conversation to the one that Kimberly and I had. It was like Groundhog Day for her because I was saying what you just alluded to, which is it is probably time for us to stop taking this so lightly, right? Or being lax around our vaccine mandates because it is accepting the framing to talk about it as personal responsibility, like personal freedom, right? We have built an entire society, human society, around the idea that you do not have an absolute right to put other people at risk. You don't get to drive drunk. You don't get to, you know, put other people at risk. That's not in the charter of your personal freedoms. And so to continue to frame it that way allows for an unproductive conversation. And so there's this kind of great thread about looking at this in terms of how we assign responsibility. And it starts out saying, like, you know, and some people are like, well, we're just going to have to punish them. And other people are like, well, we're just going to have to understand them because they've been lied to and they're victims. And the thread points out that, like, at some point, you don't publish articles suggesting, and now I'm just reading, that drunk drivers or people who knowingly transmit HIV to sexual partners without disclosing their status need to be persuaded not to harm others, that that's not a matter of respect, and that, in fact, no one is arguing that we address drunk driving with kindness or executions, but that we do hold people accountable. Like we do. And so when she talks about fraud, it's super interesting and you should read the whole thing. But apparently this research on fraud and con artists in particular talks about how when someone has been conned, often they refuse to admit it later, even though they themselves know because they want to save face. And so she talks about how you have to implement a social death, right? Like as far as, don't get a vaccine. You don't get to participate in society because you're putting other people at risk.
Right.
But also there has to be a cooling effect. There has to be a safety in admitting that you've been conned. And that can only come from other people who have been conned coming out and saying, yes, I was conned. You're not alone. Yeah. We all have to like be safe about this and get the vaccine.
Totally. And look, there's a whole, you know, you can find essays and opinions and thoughts about whether or not about how to treat the people who have been conned, right? The challenge for us, I think, is to make it a safe space for them to say, you know what? I think I was conned and I'm really sorry about that and I got to get the shot.
Right.
But the problem is that the fraud has been perpetrated in such a public way that lines have hardened. And I think that makes it really tough for people to climb down from their position. Either the ones who have been victimized by this fraud, perpetrated by, among others, the former president of the United States, I think we have to say that, right, and many members of his party, but also those who are saying, we have to shame everybody and shame them into getting their shots and call them stupid in public and all of that, because that's not going to get you there either.
That doesn't do it at all. That doesn't do it at all.
Right.
And in fact, we have started to see some creeping attempts by, you know, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, even Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, Stephen Scalise, the congressman from Iowa, who, you know, like Steve Scalise, Louisiana, thank you, just got his vaccine last week after being eligible for many months, but did it publicly. And so there is a temptation for people on Twitter to say, oh, well, you killed all these many people in the interim, or you blocked all these efforts and whatever. It has to happen.
It has to happen for members
of the same club to start to acknowledge that the con is a con.
So number one, Scalise, right, who waited for months and months and months. Number two, Kay Ivey, who came out the other day and said it's the unvaccinated who are doing this to us, but who a number of months ago signed a law or passed a regulation, I forget which, saying no, you can't have vaccine passports in the state of Alabama. So the response right now is, good on you, took you long enough, but come on over to the side of light and goodness and vaccines. Is that the deal?
I think so. Yeah. And it's a hard thing to do because you're like, well, it's really hypocritical and self-serving and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but that's the divide talking. There has to be a willingness to acknowledge that doing the right thing late could still save lives.
Yeah.
And frankly, more importantly, that's the only people that some folks on the right are going to listen to. There's no universe in which you and me sitting here talking about that vaccine.
Oh, no.
Is convincing anyone.
No, not a single person.
Who is currently dead set against it. So the creation of the safe space has to come from the same people who have participated in, profited from in some cases.
Perpetrating the fraud, right.
And perpetrated the fraud.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
It's just fast. It's a really interesting read, though, because absolutism in the end will just kill us all. So we got to we got to get somewhere. And we are up against it, so it's important for us to band together because the New York Times has a good piece on something we've been talking about a lot, but it's just a really good write-up about the companies that literally exist to profit off of creating disinformation campaigns, including campaigns that discredit the vaccine. Like, they did a good piece on the doctor in Florida who's, like, among the what they call the Dirty Dozen, like the 12 biggest spreaders of disinformation, because they make a lot of money. Like, this at the end of the day is the thing we have to tell everybody. Like, you are being lied to because it's making someone some money.
Yeah.
That's the con.
Totally.
It's a good story. You should go read it.
Totally should. You can do this other one about Frito-Lay in Kansas City. You can do that one real quick.
Well, this is just part of my What Did We Miss Monday, which is that you should really read for all of the conversation that we have about, I don't know, Amazon or any other company. Like, let's pay attention that coal workers were striking in Alabama recently, which has, like, gotten no national coverage at all over work shifts. And then there was this, like, bonkers story about Frito-Lay employees who were striking because some of them go 58 days in a row without not working, and they're working 12-hour shifts with 8-hour breaks in between, and they call them suicide strikes because people kill themselves. And they ratified a new contract that says, oh, okay, well, instead of making you work every single day, 7 days a week for 12 hours, you only have to work 6 days a week for 12 hours.
Yeah, that literally went from. That was the thing that got me.
I mean, From 84-hour weeks to 72-hour weeks. Like, please do not be selective in your rage over worker rights because, wow. And that's their win.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. For Funyuns.
Sorry. I'm sorry to laugh. That's pretty good.
Right? I know. I was like, I don't want to laugh either, but Funyuns is a funny word. Yeah. Right. On that note, let's go to Make Me Smile.
Let's go. Drew. My goodness gracious. All right, go ahead.
Don't you feel like this is the part where we sort of have to say, I have to say at least that although we were half empty on the Olympics, me and Kai, a couple of short weeks ago, now they're on and I watched some highlights and it is all the things that the Olympics are great for are happening, which are like incredible, amazing, wonderful stories.
Yeah.
So
totally.
With that mea culpa out of the way, it was so awesome. I don't know if you guys have been following Tunisia. Probably not, because Americans are a little bit like we're kind of into ourselves over here. But it is Tunisia is the essentially the only democracy, is the only democracy to come out of the Arab Spring revolutions about 10 years ago. But it is on the brink now. There's been economic chaos. The Delta variant is just ravaging this country. And now the president, you know, froze parliament, fired the prime minister, took control in a thing that the U.S. government's being very careful not to call a coup. And in the midst of that, this, like, darling 18-year-old, Ahmed Hafnoui, won the 400-meter, I think, the gold, as a complete long shot. And it's just, it's exactly why the Olympics are great. Like, I cried. It's so wonderful. Apparently all across the country, they're like, he's a ray of hope. It's just beautiful.
Totally. Totally.
It's beautiful.
It's a good little piece.
Yep.
Good little piece. So I've got two. And but before I launch into it, did you and Kimberly do the whole bikinis versus shorts on beach volleyball thing or beach handball?
We didn't. No, I think it came after, I was already out of town. And so thank you for bringing it up.
So this is a couple of days old, but it is just still completely mind-boggling. So, and I'm just going to read the subhead from the New York Times. Norway's beach handball players were each fined 150 euros for wearing shorts rather than the required bikini bottoms. A spokeswoman for the International Handball Federation said she did not know the reason for the rule. So, come on. It's ridiculous. Just absurd.
That was the quote that killed me, too. I was like, you really don't know the reason for the rule, ma'am?
I don't know. So there's that, right? And so there's that. But a couple of days later, which is now a couple of days ago, Pink, the singer, comes out and says she is going to pay those fines. She says the Norwegian Handball Association ought to be fined for sexism itself. Good on you, ladies. I'll be happy to pay your fine for you. Keep it up. So that's my substantive one. I know. It's great. It's amazing. And then my fun one, much along the lines of Hafnoui and swimming for Tunisia, is this Austrian mathematics PhD who's a self-trained cyclist, made it to the Olympics in cycling the other day. And because she had nothing to lose, said, I'm just going to go out hard from the beginning and see what happens. She went out hard. All the superbly trained and machine, tested female cyclists just let her go. They were like, whatever, fine. She wins the thing.
You fool.
And then what happens is when the Peloton comes around the corner 10 minutes later to discover that this woman has already won it, they're all like, wait, what?
What? Totally.
She won? She went from the beginning, went all out, and won the thing. And I just love that. Mathematics PhD, and now she's going back to teaching. Self-training, self-taught, the whole deal. Anna Kiesenhofer.
And what?
So there you go.
The other awesome thing is that did you see, and I just saw this like the nanosecond before the show started, that this Dutch racer thought she had won. Like she crossed and she was like, yes, I got this. And she was celebrating and it was like, oh no, Kiesenhofer already won. Like she won. She just smoked you like a while ago. Oops.
Chickens do not count before hatched. Anyway, I love that one. So
hilarious and wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it, stupid Olympics, you win again.
I know.
That's it for today.
And that's cool.
They
do.
Fine.
All right, we're done.
Because they're great.
Moving on.
All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow we are just going to continue to have a little bit of fun. I'm not even going to lie. The most fun story that we've covered in a very long time, other than the Ever Given, is WeWork. And so Now there's a book. We're going to dig into the IPO meltdown, the upcoming SPAC, the dishy stories behind the CEO's self-dealing, and of course, what it has to do with the financial world, because apparently nobody's learned any lessons, which is awesome.
Nobody has.
If you have questions about WeWork, or you want to just email us on any other topic, send us an email or a voice memo at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Or you could call us, leave us a voice message. We used to call them a voice, what is it called? Voice mails is what we used to call them. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-82-SMART, or just to lean all the way in, 508-UB-SMART. Boom. Boom.
I'll never get over that happy accident. So great.
That's great, right?
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer of this podcast. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And there we go. Monday's in the can. All y'all take the rest of the day off, all right?
This is so great. I had only seen the story about the person prematurely celebrating. I didn't realize that this lady was like, yeah, I just went for it. And nobody tried to catch her because they were like, ah, she's dumb.
It's great, right?
So great.
Never sell yourself short. Fascinating. Never sell yourself short.
Love it.